Hi, this is Huggy Boy. This is going out to all the homies on a Sunday afternoon.
This is how we do it.
You wanted to never rush your money.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hops and Notes for episode 18. Joining me on this episode again is Alex from Horrible Peoples and Turning Tables.
Woo!
We're back. Before we get into it, we're gonna crack open a cold boy.
Yee.
Yeah, son. This is from Stone in San Diego and all parts of San Diego, called Choco Vesa. It's an imperial stout inspired by Mexican hot chocolate. Cheers, lady.
Do you want me to read this back?
After I take a sip of
okay.
this.
Okay. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. I had this the first year it came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute since I bought it.
Never had cinnamony hot chocolate or cinnamony beer before.
Real, I mean, yeah. It's, that cinnamon, nutmeg. There's peppers in here, brewed with chocolate, coffee. There's vanilla, but you can't really taste that vanilla.
Nutmeg, cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you want to read the can?
Sure. Inspired by Mexican hot chocolate, this beer quickly rose to legendary status after it was first introduced as Chris Banker's winning recipe when we hosted the American Homebrewers Association rally in 2014, brewed with a robust but nuanced blend of chocolate, coffee, vanilla, nutmeg, cinnamon, pasilla?
I'm assuming yes.
Peppers and lactose, Stone Choco Vesa has become one of our favorite holiday traditions.
Hell yeah. So I do remember when it came out in 2014, and my friend who, like, I started drinking craft beer with, mm-hmm. was like, dude, this, we should find it. And I really liked it at the time.
It's not bad, but I'm having a hard time reconciling cinnamon beer.
It's kind of, you know, it tastes a little, like, thin.
Okay, so a little bit spilled up, and, like, I think I'm just more used to, like, milk stouts and, like just, like,
say,
the thick boys.
I think this was thicker the first time I had it. Maybe they watered down for mass production.
It could be.
Because it was probably a super limited release. You can age this. They recommend aging it at cellar temp, which is 55 degrees, like ye old wines.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is 8.1%.
Yeah, though. I did catch that. I was just like, good. I'm really glad I just ate.
Five bottle caps. What are you giving it?
I'll give it 3.75.
I'm there with you, actually. Like, I'm pretty sure when I first had it, I freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also 9 years ago.
Oh, you were like a baby
it was
beer
so
nerd.
Long. Yeah, I was literally just getting into it. Oh my god. Oh, that hurts.
Well, tapping into that nostalgic pain of being a youth, let's move on to today's topic of conversation.
Now that we're sipping away, let's get into this topic, this album. We've discussed this album last episode about Grammy nominations, but we're going to get into it a little more. This week, we're talking about The Record by Boy Genius.
Stylized and all lowercase.
God damn.
They are. The Record is all lowercase. Boy Genius is all lowercase.
It's going to start adding titles to different parts just so you guys can read it on the show. Anyway, Alex, tell us about these gorls.
Boy Genius is an American indie supergroup consisting of American singer-songwriters Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, and Lucy Dacus. They debuted with their self-titled EP all the way back in 2018 and then returned after a hiatus with their debut studio album, The Record, the topic of today's episode, which was both a critical and commercial success. Now, back in around the formation of the group, Bridgers has called the formation of the group kind of an accident, where each of the members were pretty much just fans of each other's work and then became friends. Both Dacus, I don't know how to say her last name. I've never heard it said out loud. Dacus, Lucy Dacus. I don't know. Anyway, her and Bridgers had opened for Baker on separate tours in 2016, and they all ran in similar circles as young up-and-coming performers navigating the indie scene. The three became close and shared their frustrations of constantly being compared to each other as, quote, women in rock, despite their considerably different musical styles.
And we kind of talked about that in the last episode with, like, the rock genre specifically.
It was the alternative genre.
Here's eight different people that put guitars in some of their songs. So alt.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Dacius has commented that the idea of women in music, quote, should not be remarkable whatsoever, with Bridgers adding, it's not a genre.
What do you feel about that?
About, like,
the idea of, quote, women in music
should not be remarkable whatsoever.
Yeah.
I agree.
I like...
It's like the idea where it's like, in terms of diversity, like, it's like, okay, like, that should be, like, the bare minimum.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like it because you can, without, like, comparing them, like, because of the way they were saying it, like, you know, this indie group to this indie group, and it's not the same style or whatever. But I kind of like the idea of, like, they can talk about, like, literally women in music and their impact and, like, what they've done. And, like, without getting too, like, compared to this guy or whatever, like, they can straight up talk about all of their achievements because a lot of them have done a lot. And I think we shouldn't not talk about that because it's pretty cool.
I agree. I think the point that they're trying to make in this particular instance is making it, like, the entirety of their presence is just, like... Like, you know, like...
You're a girl playing music? Yay!
Right. Yeah. Like, it's like, all right, name five of your own songs then.
Dare you wear your own shirt, poser?
Fucking poser. No, it just being, like, a cornerstone of, like, their musical persona as opposed to, like, it's basically the difference between a woman in rock versus rock with women in it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
So... I think they're leaning more towards rock with women in it instead of being women who, like...
Who play rock.
Each has spoken on the tendency of the music industry to pit women against each other, and the group was formed as a part, in part to reject this idea, which I think is pretty neat.
That's kind of fun, yeah.
They're like all very close friends. History will call them good friends.
Good friends.
In the sense that they do absolutely kiss on stage and, like fall over each other. It's very fun to watch.
I was looking at Phoebe's page. I should have looked at all of them before. Please hold. Phoebe is 29. Lucy's 28. And Julian is 28. Yeah, so they're all around
the same age, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I just didn't know that.
So, good for them. This is what Julian Baker looks like normally. She's just a little, like, soft butch. Like, I love her so much.
Dude, I'm not laughing at the picture you showed me. I'm laughing because you said little soft butch.
That's exactly, like, she's little and, like, she's adorable. Point is... that's so you have that image of what she looks like in your head. Yes,
this picture that they have of her on Wikipedia, it's her performing. She kind of has the, like, the School of Rock outfit kind of going, where it looks like she's wearing a school uniform and, like, a tie.
That's kind of the running, like, costume for this tour that they just did. Yeah,
because I mean, it gives AC/DC vibes, School of Rock vibes. Like, I dig it. It looks cool.
So point is for Halloween, Lucy Dacus and Julian did the Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande recreation. That's Julian, man. And I couldn't tell it was Julian.
That's because... actually really good. I wish. hold on. You get the face in there? Oh no, it's just the actual picture. Damn, I would have been really impressed if they did the butthole eyes too. Like, if they got, like, a shot of, like, some of her face.
No, yeah, they did, like, the whole...
That's actually really good. I like it.
Well, I was just fascinated because I couldn't tell that was Julian because how she normally looks, like, she's very much not a feminine person.
Right.
So it was interesting. Anyway, I love Boy Genius, in case that wasn't obvious, and Danny was like, do you want to do this episode? And I said, absolutely, yes.
It was a good picture. 10 out of 10 on that Halloween costume.
Yeah.
After releasing their debut self-titled EP, Boy Genius, in 2018, the trio had since been working on their solo projects and had all released their respective albums. Little Oblivions by Julian Baker, Punisher by Phoebe Bridgers, and Home Video by Lucy... What are we saying? Dacus? Before performing as a group for the first time in 3 years on November 19th, 2021. Where was that show?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't want to look it up. Rumors about a debut album from Boy Genius began spreading in late 2022 to 2023 after the trio was spotted in a photo shoot together in November 2022. And after Boy Genius was announced to be on the 2023 Coachella lineup on January 10th, 2023. Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did they had like one of those 15, 30 minute slots or whatever?
Yeah, they were actually pretty high on the list.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. That's cool.
Because, well, all three of them have like their own fan bases. Right. So all of them together, like, it was...
Oh, the only reason, I'm not saying because of popularity, I'm saying because there's, like, no catalog. Yeah. I guess they can play their own music, which is also cool.
Which they do on tour.
Yeah. On January 18th, 2023, Boy Genius announced the album, along with the release of three lead singles, $20, Emily I'm Sorry, and True Blue. On March 1st, 2023... Boy Genius released the album's fourth single, Not Strong Enough, along with an accompanying music video edited by Bridgers' brother, Jackson Bridgers. He's got two last names. Tragedy. Good for him, though. That's actually really cool, like, keeping it, like,
small-ish. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's four singles.
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean, like, having your brother do it instead of, like, going out and hiring, like, a bunch of people. I appreciate that. On March 30th of 2023, Boy Genius released, quote, the film. The
stylized promotion... in all lowercase.
Okay. It wasn't put in there, but thank you.
I'm just saying that. I have no thing to add. Like, I don't remember, so I can't say for sure.
The film was a promotional short film for the album featuring the videos for all three singles, $20, Emily I'm Sorry, and True Blue. The videos are interconnected with visual details. Is this what they show on Spotify if you don't, like, lock your phone?
I don't know because I have that turned off.
Oh, man, I think it's pretty cool.
It annoys... Because if I'm driving, it's distracting.
Oh, you keep it open?
Well, because I don't have... Like, you have a screen in, like, on your in your car.
Yeah, but if you, like, leave it locked and you can just...
But then the screen will go, like, I have to keep Spotify open and I keep it propped up in my car.
Okay, I understand.
So then I have to.
It's actually pretty cool. But
the
anyway.
Film was directed by Kristen Stewart.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, I found that out.
That's actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
On Metacritic, the record holds a score of 90 out of 100 based on reviews from 20 critics, indicating, quote, universal acclaim. Isn't that more ratings than the Sleep Token album?
Oh, yeah.
God damn. No, I mean, just more ratings from critics in general, like good and bad. Fuck. 5-star review by NME raved that the record was an, quote, instant classic as a result of each Boy Genius member, quote, getting to know each other artistically and collaboratively. I'm going to bring that up later.
Did you listen to the other songs that I sent you?
When?
I texted you and I said also listen to these two songs.
I did not.
Okay.
When? Was it today?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was literally listening to the album all day at work today.
Okay.
And I was like writing things on a paper so I can put it into my notes. So I listened to the album a few times today.
Okay.
But I didn't go anywhere else.
Okay.
Rolling Stone wrote that Boy Genius were able to, quote, transcend any kind of, quote, super group cliche. I was looking forward to cliche. Through, quote, recombining their individual styles into a different kind of chemistry for each song, unquote. The record, finally put into lowercase, was nominated for 7 Grammy Awards, including Album of the Year and Best Alternative Music Album.
It was quite a few.
It was. Do you want to read off the track list or?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So let's see, how many we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 songs. And the track list is With You, Without Them, $20, Emily, I'm Sorry, True Blue, Cool About It, Not Strong Enough, Revolution Zero, Leonard Cohen, Satanist,
hey.
We're in Love, Anti-Curse, and Letter to an Old Poet.
That's 12 songs.
Okay, I can't count.
Sorry. it's 42 minutes, 18 seconds. So there are some really short songs in here, too. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, Leonard Cohen and With You Without Them, I think both under 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
I think Leonard Cohen might be, yeah, I think it is under 2 minutes. I'll look at it right now. But I'll let you begin, ma'am.
All right. We're kicking off with You Without Them. Or with, yeah. Without You Without Them, sorry. They're just so lyrical. At first, I didn't like this, but after listening to the album a million times, I love my little a cappella girlies. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I like it. There's a whimsy about it that I enjoy. Yeah. The Who Would I Be Without You Without Them? I don't know. I like it. I like the whole song.
I wrote, ooh, this is some like church shenanigans.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's dope, but kind of creepy. And a very interesting way to start the album. I do think a lot of people were probably thought the same way as you, where they were like, nah, like, this is weird. I don't like it. Skipper.
Right.
And then I was like, this is Midnight Mass soundtrack vibes.
Ooh.
Especially when they're like, right before the actual Midnight Mass, when they're walking through the streets with the candles.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, the choir that they hired to sing is very, like, harmonized that way. And so I was like, that was really cool. But yeah, again, very short song.
Yeah, but the way that they harmonize and, like, just, like, even the lyrics, like, it flows lyrically very well.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But yeah, that's it. It's short. It's, like, a minute 30. Like, it's, if that. Like, it's very
minute
short.
Minute 21.
Oh, okay. So that's Without You, Without Them.
$20 is up next. It starts off with a kind of fun guitar riff. It's very, because it's not full like pop punky. It's not as crunchy.
No, it's,
but it's crunchy.
Yeah, I think it's. It is like that, like rock alternative kind of like da na na na. Like yeah.
I think it's very like early rock alternative where they didn't know what to call it, and. Yeah. It was cool. I do like the idea of a T-Bird graveyard. I wrote T-Bird graveyard. Nice.
Nice.
I also put in quote, in another life, we were arsonists. You're doing what you can, just make it run. So that line specifically, you're doing what you can, just make it run. I'm aware this whole song is a metaphor. But it brought me back to my like youth.
Mm-hmm.
When my first car was a 66 Mustang.
And your first car was a 66 Mustang?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And I literally got it from this dude on Craigslist. The thing had little to no paint. It wasn't running. I had to replace most of it, and we had to primer and paint it ourselves. So it was a nightmare. But when it was running, it was great. And then randomly, it would be like, I have it for a week. And then it would break down, and for the next month, I had no car because I had to, like, save money to get it working and, like, fix it and figure out what to do. So that line, I was like, oh, my God. I'm pretty sure my mom yelled at me.
That's funny. I also have the line, run out of gas, out of time, out of money. You're doing what you can. Just make it run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My gas gauge didn't work, and it died on the way from work. The amount of times I've had to push that car. It's a very heavy car, by the way. It's all metal.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like me trying to push my car.
Yeah. But, like, your car is... It's still, like yeah, because it's just big.
And also, she's old.
Yeah. Heavier engine.
Yeah.
The Take a Break background is really cool. And the lyrics got very real very fast.
Because
It starts off kind of fun, and then I'm just like... Oh, God. And then
you like those feels? Take them.
I did like the end, like the screaming part, the ending screaming. I was like, that's really cool. But I also am glad I had the lyrics up to see what they were screaming, because it was kind of distorted. Or they added like
a filter?
Yeah, there's some kind of effect on their voice. But I liked it. It was cool. Kind of fun.
Cool. I put this song feels nostalgic for something, and I don't know what. Like, there's just like a nostalgia about it. I think it's also like everyone's had like a piece of shit car that it's just like, okay. Mm-hmm. I get the metaphor here. I also have the $20 scream lives rent-free in my head. Thanks, Phoebe Bridgers, because she's the one who does that. Like,
that was really good.
Well, that's also very specific to her style. Like, a lot of her songs have that, like, her screaming. She likes to scream. Good for her. Yeah, I enjoy the song. It's fun.
It's fun, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That $20 scream was actually really cool. I wish I wrote that down. I think it's because I was like so like listening to it and like actually trying to interpret a lot of the lyrics that I didn't write it. But I do remember it. Very cool scream. $20 was 3 minutes and 20 seconds long.
Very good.
All right. What's next, Alex?
Emily, I'm sorry. Okay. So T.
Oh my God.
Phoebe briefly dated an actress or like someone in the industry named Emily Bannon, and the goss is that she cheated on her, and this is like an apology song to her.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's the tea on that.
We don't know what Emily. It's just an Emily.
Her name is Emily Bannon.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know like what she's from, but I just know that she exists. I don't know. Like, I am tangentially involved with like the Boy Genius fandom. I'm not like in it, like, you know, like, but it's just more so what like TikTok shows me. Excuse me. This is definitely a Phoebe song. The sound is very much like her vibe for sure, and I think she also just lead vocals on this, so it makes sense.
Okay.
For me, I have the lyrics. I like the book ending of the lyrics, and I can feel myself becoming someone only you could want, and then at the end, and I can feel myself becoming somebody I'm not, because it bookends the lyrics or the song, and I do enjoy that. And then also the lyric, I'm 27 and I don't know who I am, felt.
Girl, I didn't know who I was either.
Well, because like this album came out when I was 27, so I was just like, it's for me specifically.
You're attacking me.
Yeah, otherwise I think this is I like this song also. Like, there's only one song that I don't love basically from this album.
The way it starts, there she's describing like watching Emily sleep in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is this a car crash death song? Like, what is their problem? I was going to text you so
bad. What the fuck?
And I was like, or no death, and they survived and just hate each other in Montreal. And then, they're from Canada, right?
No.
No? I don't know why Montreal then. Also, Emily Bannon is a voice actor.
Yes.
B-A-N-N-O-N. The whole song is Big Sads.
It is Big Sads. Yeah, she's from Los Angeles, dude.
Oh, I don't fucking know them. Maybe they lived in Montreal.
I mean, it is mentioned, like, by name, so.
Yeah, they name-dropped Montreal. That's the only reason why I'm saying it. But, yeah, I don't know. So this is, like, I mean, I guess the intro into the first song is kind of a big vibe change. But I'm not going to really take that because it's an intro. Like, it's supposed to be different. But song one into, or song two into song three is a huge vibe change. It went from kind of fun to, hello, we're sad now.
Oh, and that
and
is
I did a thing.
The theme.
Yeah. So that happens a lot in this album.
Yeah. Next.
Next up is True Blue. I too feel alive at the beach. And then I wrote, born in 95? Christ, I'm old. It's my brother's age. It's only 3 years, but still.
No, 90, it wasn't 95, was it? Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
95.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do without Summer in My Blood. Like, it's okay. I don't need it.
No, that is, okay, so, I'm sorry, finish your commentary.
I was like, wait, Summer in the Blood, but moved to Chicago? Girl, what is you doing?
Baby, what is you doing?
Hold on, I don't know what the hell I wrote there. When you don't know who you are, you fuck around and find out. I was like, oof, attacked. I've never been so attacked by a lyric that yes. I wasn't ready for.
I love that we're picking the same lyrics for to shout out.
That I wrote, I can hide from you better than I hide from myself. Don't you dare tell me what I can and can't do. And then in all caps, wait, is this about God? Because I hope not.
I don't think so.
I dig the song, but it kind of gave Sky Daddy vibes towards the end. A little bit for me. Are you looking up the lyrics?
Yeah. I find it so fascinating that you got Sky Daddy vibes from this.
Your love is tough. Your love is tired and true blue. I can't hide from you like I can hide from myself. I remember I am with you.
Yeah, I think that's just someone knowing you. Like, I thought it was just, like, a codependent relationship. Which, I mean, also.
Yes, that's why. Like, that's the first one. That's the original.
The original codependent relationship.
Sorry, I just had a flashback to It's Always Sunny when Dennis dyed his hair black. And they're like, you look like Superman. He's like, oh, well, yeah. He's the original. Like, the original what? Anyway, what do you have on True Blue?
So this was my first ever Boy Genius song.
Okay.
This song came out as a single, and I found it before the album came out, and I really, really liked it. The unfortunate part was I didn't love, at that point, $20 or Emily, I'm Sorry. Like, I was kind of ambivalent mm-hmm. about them. And then Not Strong Enough came out, and I was like, oh. And then I listened to the whole album, and I was like, oh.
I think those songs for the singles were very good teasers
I
for
think the album. So. I mean, and funnily enough, even though not, we'll get to that in a minute, but none of those singles are my favorite song off of this album.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm so curious. We'll get to it. But yeah, I have an all caps. You say you're a winter bitch, but summer's in your blood. You can't help but become the sun. That lyric, when I first heard it, I like stopped and like looked at my phone. I was just like, oh my fucking God. Like, it blew my mind. Mainly just because I spent many, many years like being like, I love winter. I love being cold. And now I'm just like, no, I don't. I love the summer and I have depression during the winter. So
I love the cold.
Oh God, I hate it so much.
I love it to be cold.
All the lyrics are just so, so, so good. And then I put honorable mention to When You Don't Know Who You Are, You Fuck Around and Find Out. Cause that,
cause that's such a good one. And I mean, even like, I wish they told me that in, like, high school or something, because I think it would have stuck with me, because, they said the F word, but also, it's not wrong, like, I mean, we're all dumb and young, and we do things to, like, figure out who we want to be and who we are, so, like, I like that. That was a really good lyric. I can't hide.
Mm-hmm. My brother just texted me to inform me that Henry Kissinger, the former U.S. Secretary of State, is
hell
dead.
Yeah. 100, though. God damn.
I know. It just goes to show.
There's a Twitter account called Is Henry Kissinger Dead? And one of this person I follow, they screenshot it and they're like, this is how I found out. And they're like, the last few tweets are like, no, not today. Then in all caps, yes. And I was like, oh, fuck. Incredible. I was like, God. See, sometimes Twitter can be used for great things. And that's definitely one
Excuse
of them.
Excuse me. It's X now.
X. What? Whatever the cum sigil that it is.
God damn it. Anyway.
So you guys know what day we're recording.
I know. Well, sorry about it.
I don't care.
Next is Cool About It.
Cool About It.
The plucky guitar tickles my brain in a great way.
Yeah.
In the beginning. I love it. Yeah, y'all.
Y'all alternative.
Each of them taking a verse is just so fucking
really
chef's kiss. Like, the way that they just share a song is just fucking beautiful. Phoebe's verse in particular slaps, which is the third one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pull it up and read you a little snippet. One of the lyrics in particular from it, so it's the "once I took your medication to know what it's like, now I have to act like I can't read your mind. I ask you how you're doing and I let you lie." But in particular, the very end of the verse, where it's like, "but we don't have to talk about it, that blah, blah, blah." And then the line, "I'll pretend being with you doesn't feel like drowning." And that's the one that I wrote down where I was just like, fuck. Oh, God. But no, I love this song in its entirety, but Phoebe's verse in particular, just like,
Okay, so I wrote country ass intro, and then I wrote lol cowboys with neck tattoos. Like, they set the very good scene, and it's again, not making fun of it, it's just nice. This is the one where I was like, actually, this gives Bright Eyes vibes. The way, do you know the song Lua? That's what it reminded me of. And I mean, it's been a minute since I've listened to that album, but I really like that album. Is it,
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning. Really good album. The song has big feels. What do you think it is about?
Did you look up what it's about?
No.
Or? Oh.
I literally wrote, like, ask Alex.
What I think the song's about? I mean, I feel like it's about, like, people, like, either them respectively or whoever wrote the song, like, being with someone but, like, not being, like, a perfect match. And, like, just kind of, like, finding, like, your common ground, but then also, like, being inherently mismatched on some level.
I feel like, so I agree with you, because it felt like they get along as people, and, like you said, they do have some common ground, and they're just finding ways to make that work. Which isn't always cute.
It's not. I would say it's very rarely, if ever, cute.
Yeah, it's fucking rough.
Lucy Dacus verse. So, "I came prepared for absolution if you'd only ask. So I'd say, take some offense when you say no regrets. And I remember it's impossible to pass your test." So that was a big one for me, where I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
They're like, so some inherent mismatch about it.
Yeah. I felt it a lot. Like, this one I was like, oof. That's why I was like, this has big feels behind it, because I feel like, I mean, you and I have been in that, like, situation before in our lives, where, like, I mean, most people have too, but you just don't realize it until you listen to a song about it and you're like, fuck,
god damn it. No, yeah, the line, "telling myself one day I'll forget about it, knowing that it probably isn't true."
Yeah, like, I really like that one.
Oh, so good.
Man.
Do you have any other notes?
That's all I had. We're going to move on to Not Strong Enough. This is the most popular one on Spotify. Quote, "I don't know why I am the way I am. Me too.
Me too.
Singing boys don't cry. Woo!" DC is getting scraped up off the pavement. That and "always an angel, never a god." I was like, ooh, nice. And that, obviously, "always an angel, never a god," that's for the show. Like, that, it's just, it's so good. The way it's delivered, it's chanty. Go Home Alone.
Do we have the same music taste? Because we keep writing down the same lyrics for things.
The very "Go Home Alone" part, yeah. I was like,
Go Home Alone. Yeah.
Yeah. And I see why this is the most popular song on Spotify. This is my favorite on the album.
Okay. Hell yeah.
It's very good.
This is one of my top five songs of the year, according to Spotify Wrapped, which also dropped today.
Hell yeah. Did you see mine?
Yes.
It was like all Rocky Horror songs. I listen to Rocky Horror when I leave here a lot.
Here?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because by the time I get home, I think Sweet Transvestite just ended.
It's a great, so it's timed out, so, right?
I know now too. Like, if I get there before, I make good time.
Because also, like, I looked at, like, your minutes streamed, and I'm like, you listen to a lot of music. Like, it's not, and I'm just like, I know you don't listen to just Rocky Horror on repeat all day.
But that's what's funny is, like, nobody from that album was on my top artist either. It was still Ghost. Fucking Iron Maiden.
It was very confusing to me to see all of that.
I wish I should have taken a picture of the sandwich thing.
I mean, you can go back and look at it.
Yeah, I wish I had it. Uh-huh. But it was like Rock was the top one. And that's because Ghost is included in Rock. And mm-hmm. I think Iron Maiden is too. But I think it was the second to last one was Soul. And I saw Ruben had it. And Anthony. And Anthony's number one was Soul. And yeah. I was like, damn, Anthony, what are you listening to?
He listens to a lot of...
Neo-R&B, like Neo-Soul?
Yeah, he listens to a lot of funk, lots of... Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's where mine's from. It's my funk playlist.
Okay, I have something that I have to show you that I meant to... I wanted to post on my story, but, like, I couldn't...
Is it bad?
Huh?
Is it bad?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. God damn.
It's the sandwich from Spotify Wraps, but it's with Sex Positions.
For those delicious. It says delicious at the top too.
Delicious. You're. God.
Anyway, go ahead with this song. Top song on your Spotify Wrapped.
My top song on my Spotify.
No, one of your top.
It was one. It was the number four, I believe. I don't know why I am the way I am, sung in, like, three different tones, mm-hmm. for, like, different reasons. Like, it just, like, the vibes, like, you just kind of, like, I know Phoebe sounds, like, different, and then, Julian sounds a little bit more, like, self-assured, and just, like, I don't know. And then Lucy's is, like, this, like, desperate, like, yeah. I don't know why I am the way I am.
It's delivered three different ways, layered and harmonized, and yeah. It's just, like... Oh,
it's so fuck. Good. They are lyrical princesses. Julian's whole verse, the drag racing through the canyons, that whole verse, so good. My favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the always an angel, never a god repeating line is one of those weird word meditation things that slowly changes meaning the more you like listen to it and like say it. And it's so good. I saw them do an a cappella version of it, and like they like them harmonizing the always an angel, never a god. Perfect.
That's really cool. Like on a YouTube?
It was like a genius.com. Like it was like a lyric. Like the lyric. Like,
oh, okay.
The lyric website.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like talking about the meaning behind the song.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. I really like when groups do that. Like random a cappella covers of their own music.
Yeah, same.
I think it's fucking dope. What's next?
Next is Revolution Zero.
Zero.
This one had to grow on me, I won't lie.
Okay.
This is the one song, I think, on the whole album that I'm not, like, super crazy about. Like, I don't actively dislike it, mm-hmm. but it's not my favorite.
Okay.
This sounds very Phoebe. Mm-hmm. And then also I have the lyric, you wanted a song, so it's not going to be a short one. Or it's going to be a short one.
And it's... one of the longer songs.
I know. Irony is not lost on me.
There's one song. No, two.
It's but it's a not few songs short. It's like it. A yeah. 3 minute whatever. But
it's 4 minutes.
4 minutes. Seconds. Yeah.
I thought that too because when I heard that line, I looked and I was like, "There's still 2 minutes left in this song."
I did that too, son of a bitch. What did you think?
I think so too. I don't think it's a bad song. I do like kicking in the teeth of whoever hurt your imaginary friend.
Yeah.
The line, I don't want to die, that's a lie. I was like, oh, fuck. I almost flipped my desk at work, and I can do that now because I'm sitting at a little peasant desk. But
at least you have a desk now.
Yeah. Then the, if you're not enough, then I give up and nothing is. And I was like,
Ooh.
Good Lord. But the end, also so halfway through, is the line about being a short song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's maybe three lines after that, and then it's all just, like, vocalizing. So,
yes, it is.
And it's very instrumental and big.
Yeah.
But that's cool. But, yeah, I don't think it's one that I'm going to, like, go back and listen to a lot.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
But you know.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Leonard Cohen.
Yes.
Cohen. sharing music is literally how I make friends. I was very excited about that line. And then the line, I might like you less now that you know me so well. Ooh.
Danny, we have to stop doing this.
No, we're gonna keep doing it. And then it's a kind of fun, short, lovey sounding song. I like it.
So this song, I want to make sure... Yes. So the line that, like, we missed our exits on, so we had to keep driving for an hour. Mm-hmm. So this song is written about all three of them being in a car, and Phoebe Bridgers, like, did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's, I like to think of it as, like, a, like, kind of like a song for themselves.
Right.
And then also, when they were writing the song, part of the imagination behind it was talking about, like, Leonard Cohen's songs about how, like, they're just, like, they don't have structure. Like, the song is just, like, yeah, basically one long verse. And that's what this song is.
Exactly.
And I liked that a lot. I also wrote the lyrics, "I might like you less now that you know me so well," felt in all caps right next to it. And then, yeah, this song grew on me. At first, when I first heard it, I was like, okay, this is whatever. But now, uh-huh, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. It gives me brain tingles. I love it.
I like the song. I think I'm kind of sad it wasn't longer, but I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the point. But I do like it. It's very good.
Yes.
All right, I think we're going to have a lot of the same lines in this next one. What is it?
Next is Satanist.
Hail Satan!
Yeah. Okay, I have two lyrics. I have "Sleep in Cars and Kill the Bourgeoisie."
Oh, yeah.
And then also, "If Nothing Can Be Known, Then Stupidity Is Holy."
Oh, yeah, that's, of course you knew I was going to put that one. That's so good.
It's dope as shit.
It's so good.
It goes hard as hell. The slowdown at the end is lovely.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. The song vibes. The song fucks. I enjoy it immensely.
Yeah.
I also love how they formatted so many of these songs, like, unconventionally.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it keeps the album, like, engaging. Like, you're not hearing, like, the same, like, you know, like, verse, pre-chorus, chorus,
right,
like,
yeah,
you know, repeat, bridge, end chorus, call it a day. Like, it's formatted interestingly.
Mm-hmm. First note, yay Satan, before the song even started.
I knew it.
I honestly didn't even see the title until I got to the song, and I was like, oh, fuck, cool. The opening line, "Will you be a Satanist with me?" Hit me. "Be an anarchist with me." "If nothing matters, man, that's a relief."
Yeah.
"If nothing can be known, then stupidity is holy." In all caps, "Treat yourself to self-belief."
Yeah.
That is so good. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was like, I needed these lyrics. Like, very cool. And then the mood change was interesting. I think some people might not like that mood change at the end, but
I think it's lovely.
Yeah, it's because it definitely changes the entire vibe of, mm-hmm, the whole song. Let me see. "You hang on till it drags you under" is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. I like Phoebe's, she did the anarchy verse, mm-hmm, so. But one of the things, like, at their concerts, people, like, straight up, like, scream the lines, "Sleep in cars and kill the bourgeoisie."
I bet.
It's, like, a whole thing, so I had to include that one.
It's good. It's a good line, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. All right. Next up, we're in love. This song sounds old-timey as fuck, and I dig it. Man, I wish I could. Oh, "Not Swapping Blood."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Quote, "You listened like it mattered." Nice. Mm-hmm. "I'll run out of trash TV." No, we won't. This song's sad as fuck, and I dig it.
Yeah. Oh, we have different lyrics for this one.
Ooh. Excuse me while I pull it up, but go ahead.
This is a Lucy song through and through, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Listened to the song that I'd sent you, like, I think you might be able to see the parallels.
Okay.
But "I feel crazy in ways I never say. Will you still love me if it turns out I'm insane?"
I figured you were gonna put that one. I was like, I'm just gonna leave that one because you're gonna get it.
And then I have, "If I rewrite your life, may I still play a part?" Got me fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
That one got me good, boys. And then also a little bit further down, "There is something about you that I will always recognize."
Mm-hmm.
This song is so fucking sad. So naturally, I listen to it on repeat.
As you do. As one does.
Lucy Dacus is a lyrical god. Like, all of her songs, I'm just like, Ooh, the metaphor.
Yeah, that's it's very well written.
Yeah, all of these songs like are very well written, like lyrically, and I think that's a big part of the reason that they got nominated for as many Grammys as they did.
I can see that.
But yeah, I like this song. Like I joke that it's sad, so I listen to it on repeat. But I like forget it hurts me, and I forget it exists, and then I find it again, and then I listen to it on repeat until it does significant emotional damage. And then I forget it exists again.
Emotional damage.
Emotional damage. Next, we are talking about my favorite song on the album.
We're talking about Magic.
Anti-Curse.
Yay.
Julian Baker is my favorite small gay.
How small is she?
She's very, like, Lucy is like, pretty tall, uh-huh. But, like, Julian's...
They're not going to have it on Wikipedia. That's something like, pervs look up. Never mind. I'm sorry I looked.
Oh, no, it's the fourth thing on Google.
Like I said.
She's 5 feet tall.
Oh, so she's tiny.
She is a tiny gay, and I love her so much.
The smallest gay.
She is such... Ugh, I adore her. Anyway, so this song was actually... She wrote it about her getting pulled out by a rip current while at the beach with the other two boys.
Thinking
she was going to die. Yeah, and somehow made it a beautiful metaphor.
The way it starts, because I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. And then the lyric, tried to be a halfway decent friend, wound up a bad comedian, lives rent-free in my fucking head.
I love that one.
Rent fucking free. The whole last verse is just so beautiful to me. I don't know. I don't care. It's just so good. Yeah. So, that's my notes on that. But no, this is like, I'm surprised this wasn't my top five, because I do listen to this one on repeat a bunch.
I put Never Listen, Had to See for Myself.
Yeah.
Same. Making Peace with My Inevitable Death. Holy shit.
Yeah. The Salt in My Lungs, Holding My Breath, Making Peace with My Inevitable Death. Like that little verse is so mwah, chef's fucking kiss.
An Honest Fool with More Bad Habits Than You Can Count. Oh, okay. Attacked. That I'm Swimming Back yell was very cool.
Yeah.
And then an incantation, like an anti-curse. Very, very cool. I like that a lot.
It's so good. I love... Yeah. The whole song, like, lyrically is just so good.
It's deep. No pun intended.
So, the two songs that I sent you were solo songs. One is Graceland 2 by Phoebe Bridgers and Please Stay by Lucy Dacus.
Uh-huh.
Both of them were written about Julian, because Julian, like, struggled with, like, addiction at one point. And, like, basically, like, they're both songs about watching, like, someone struggle with their mental health tremendously.
Right.
And, like, there's nothing you can really do to stop it. And, like, other than just, like, be there for them. And both of those songs are, like, Please Stay by Lucy is one of my favorite songs ever. It's so good. Like, there's a lyric that I want to get tattooed. Like, that's how... God. And I don't get song tattoos for a reason. But that one, I'm like...
It's very good.
It means a lot. So, yeah.
All right. Next up, Letter to an Old Poet.
Okay. There's, like, context for this one.
Okay.
If you would like me to...
Do you want to drop the lore now?
Sure. I'll save my additional commentary. Uh-huh. So, this is a parallel song to the last song of their first EP, and it's called Me and My Dog, and it's haunting. So, in Me and My Dog, the lyrics at the bridge are, I want to be emaciated. I want to hear one song without thinking of you. I wish I was on a spaceship, just me and my dog in an impossible view. And then in A Letter to an Old Poet, it's, I want to be happy. I'm ready to walk into my room without looking for you.
Yeah.
I'll go up to the top of our building and remember my dog when I see the full moon.
Ooh.
It's the same, like, music and everything. It's so fucking good. It's fucking art, okay? Anyway, that's just the parallel the context. Lore. Yeah.
I wrote, quote, and I love you. I don't know why, I just do. Then proceeds to roast. Goes straight into roast mode. Loved that. Dude fell down the stairs, did not even care. I was like, damn, though. This, like, it's Looking for a Closure song, it hits hard.
It's the I'm Giving Myself Closure song.
Yeah. Not in a bad way either. It's very good. It's just heavy.
Yeah. I have the lyric, the roast, you're not special, you're evil.
Uh-huh.
You don't get to tell me to calm down. You made me feel like an equal, but I'm better than you and you should know that by now.
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking joking? That's like, oh man. Like, specifically, you made me feel like an equal, but I'm better than you and you should know that by uh-huh. now is so good.
It's the delivery too.
Yeah.
It's so intense.
This is a primo breakup song for sure.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. I love this album a lot and it's uh-huh. kind of perfect.
Okay. So now that we've finished this album is full of big feels, good, bad, sad, rage. My favorite thing is that these songs, not all of them, but at some point they like fade into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that because I think Anti-Curse and fades into a letter to an old,
it does.
To an old poet.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, though, I really like how you go from With You Without Them straight into the yeah. of like $20. Like, that is a little jarring in a good way, but then a lot of the other ones do fade into each other, yeah. which is really cool.
Exactly. Do you have any final thoughts before I ask you to rate this thing?
Listen to Boy Genius. Make yourself sad. You deserve it.
Be sad at work.
Be sad at work.
Do what I did.
That's exactly what I did. And it was not. Because then, also, Taylor Swift dropped a new song today.
Oh my god.
So I've been listening to that and this. So I feel very hurt.
It wasn't even, that wasn't a bad oh my god. It was, she texted me. Of course, Spotify is like, hey, you listened to Taylor's version of things before. Listen to it. And I'm like, leave me alone.
Who are you people?
I need to listen to this album.
I'm really sad. I'm so sad.
She's been through it today, everybody. Let's rate this out of 5 black holes in kitchens.
Ooh. I'm going to give this a 4.75.
God damn.
Out of 5. I love this album.
Yes, you do. She's been preaching it.
To anyone who will listen, I really love this album. I really like Boy Genius. They were a gem that I discovered this year that I'm very grateful that I did.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 4 black holes in kitchens. It's very good. Like I said, I do like the big feels behind it. I don't know which of these songs I'm going to put into, like, I mean, for sure, I'm going to put Not Strong Enough and Satanist into something, and I'm sure I'll pick more, but, like, I think I need to listen more to figure out what I'm going to put into, like, what kind of playlist.
Mm.
But they are good. I do think most people will find a song they'll like on here, at least one.
Yeah, for me, the songs that I listen to the most is Anti-Curse and Not Strong Enough, and then True Blue also sprinkled in there for some flavor. Anytime like We're in Love or Letter to an Old Poet comes on, I'm like, do I have the emotional bandwidth for this at the current moment? Or
am I okay?
If no, I'm just like, I'm gonna come back to this later. But I couldn't do that this and I listened to the album twice because it's a 45 minute long album. Yeah, it's quick.
It's very easy to like power through this yeah. album.
I adore this, so go listen to it. Hopefully they win a Grammy.
I think so too. Now that I've listened to this whole thing, I definitely hope they get something out of it, because mm-hmm. let's see, just to recap for everybody, they are nominated for Album of the Year, Best Alt Music Album, Best Engineered Album Non-Classical, just the record itself, then Not Strong Enough on Record of the Year, Best Rock Song, Best Rock Performance, and Cool About It is Best Alt Music Performance.
It was very weird what got picked in, like, the...
Yeah, I don't know who's in charge.
I mean, I think they just, like, put it down for everything, and then yeah. they just got picked for some weird-ass categories.
But I mean, that's cool. Why not? I do hope they win something out of this, because I think they earned it.
To be nominated for 7 Grammys and not win any, I'm going to be real mad.
Anyway, would you like to say goodnight? So long and goodnight to these animals?
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, adieu. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you for having me again.
Hell yeah.
This was super fun. I'm glad I got to subject someone else to my feelsy emo or indie pop.
We tried to get James to listen to it yesterday.
And he played for about 5 seconds and he was like, nope. And I was like, that's fair. Anyway, because like all their songs start pretty slow and like it's fine. I respect that. Anyway, if you want to follow me personally on Instagram, I am at Ghost Coffee Shop. I also talk a lot about music there. And then I also have 2 podcasts here on the Horrible People's Network. Turning Tables, I am a DM, and the Horrible People's Podcast, I am one of the hosts, D&D and horror movies. What more could you want? So that's what I'm up to. And yeah, thanks again.
Hell yeah. You know what I'm thinking about after this episode? Christmas album.
You want to do a Christmas album?
I'm ready to be mad. But I do have... I was gifted many years ago a metal Christmas album.
You know what's funny? There is... I think I have... like, okay. I texted Danny this and it did annoy him greatly. But I do have a pop punk like... or like emo...
Oh, yeah.
Like...
No, this is like... like it's the same thing, but it's metal like... bands and like kind of super groups covering Christmas songs. I don't know how I haven't listened to it in years because I had to listen to it once. I need to find it, but I have that and I'm willing to scream about it.
Are you? Because that sounds like you're just gonna ruin your own day.
Yeah, I would do it a lot.
Yeah. So what was the pop punk playlist? So really Reliant K did their own Christmas album. And then there's Jimmy Eat World did a cover of Last Christmas. Hold on 1 second. Don't play. Nope, there it goes. Okay, there is an album called Punk Goes Christmas.
Yeah.
Is this the same thing we're thinking of, or
the one that you sent to the group chat?
No. That's Punk Goes Crunk. Excuse me.
God damn it.
Yeah, so this is Punk Goes Christmas Deluxe, which is fascinating. Oh my god, I'm learning so much right now.
Fascinating to say the least?
Yeah, this is... oh man, this is not good. Anyway, I have a whole playlist, because there's also a different album that I'm currently not thinking of. What is it? And it's gift wrapped and it that has like My Chemical Romance, but it also has like The Flaming Lips and like Regina Spektor. Like it's just an amalgamation of people instead of just like one particular genre.
It's a cow Christmas. Okay.
Huh?
It's a cow Christmas.
No. Anyway. Maybe we'll talk about Christmas.
We might have to just so I can scream louder about it because I need to yell. Thank you all so much for listening. Follow this podcast on Instagram at Hops and Notes Pod. Follow me on Instagram and Untapped at Wrathchild714. Follow the network at Horrible People's Network. That's HORRORBLE People's Network on Instagram. Listen to all the previously listed shows and other hidden gems we have on there. Until next time, go out and form a supergroup with your best friends.
Bye. Hail you.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to Horrible People's Network on Instagram. That's HORROREBLE People's Network on Instagram.